I know more about sports than you, good sir.
Tis to laugh. Dare I say my grandmother could outsport you any day of the week.
Gentlemen, may I borrow your ear for a moment?
But of course!
BetDSI.net is an awesome site where you can play for free and win real cash. Are you a sports nut with a lot of confidence?
Thoroughly.
Maybe you're a casual fan with a flair for the stats.
Guilty!
Put your knowledge to the test and win real cash at BetDSI.net. It's fun, it's entertaining, and it's just another way to enjoy the sport you already love. It's BetDSI.net.
Huzzah!
This ain't like when you're at a game and sign up for a credit card just to get the prize and then you immediately cancel the credit card. Because there's no prize when you sign up for our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. The views and opinions expressed in the following program do not necessarily reflect those of this station. There, we're totally covered. Do your worst, Bob. This is Primetime Sports with Bob McCallum on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Friday, December 18th, 2015, Primetime Sports on your radio, on your television. It is the, it's not just the roundtable, ladies and gentlemen. It is the last roundtable for 2015. It is the year-end show. Let us be the first to do a year-end show. And we do this because next Friday, while I will be here, it will be a two-hour show, not a three-hour show. On Christmas Eve.
But Christmas Eve is Thursday.
Oh, okay.
No, isn't it? What's today?
Christmas is, yeah, week today.
Yeah, you're not here Christmas Day, Bob.
All right, so Christmas Day, we're not here at all.
Good.
I'll be here Christmas Eve.
What a start. We're off to a great start today.
You'll be watching basketball on Christmas Day.
All five games.
Yeah.
Woo!
Nah, probably not.
Warriors.
And so no roundtable then, and then we are off the week between Christmas and New Year's, as we always are, so no roundtable then. And then I am off the first week of January, so no roundtable for me then.
Again?
Yeah. So God only knows when the next roundtable I will do is.
So we'll see you in 2017.
The show will be on, but I won't be. I'm sorry, you were
saying? We'll see you in 2017, I guess.
I can't promise that.
Okay.
That's
maybe 2016.
I was going to say
2017. We can't promise 2017.
I assume like nothing has changed and it's all being negotiated.
The thing is, there's nothing to be negotiated. The negotiations are done.
Really?
This is what I'm doing.
You're always in the middle of negotiation.
No, I have two more years on my current negotiation.
So when do you retire then?
You're retiring?
I read the paper. It was in the paper. If it's in the paper, it's got to be true.
It's got to be true. It's like Wikipedia.
Well,
it's got to be true.
No, Twitter is the defining.
Here's the only thing I know. If you go through the archives, 15 years ago, there was an article in the Globe and Mail about my imminent retirement.
Huh. Bob, that was 15 years ago. In the article of this.
Oh, I was quoted 15 years ago, too.
And you were retiring then?
Yeah, that's when I was going to go and play the senior tour.
How'd that go?
We abandoned that plan.
Oh. You think?
Lack of talent had a lot to do with it. Although there was a moment there when I thought I could beat those bastards, but yeah, I came to my senses. So here's who has assembled. Damian Cox, who hasn't shut up since he walked in. John Shannon, who's been interrupting him since he walked in. And Arash Madani hasn't said a damn word.
Hi, Bob. How you doing?
I'm fine. Thank you for joining us, Arash.
There you go. Always good to be here.
It's actually Arash Madani, president of the Jeffrey Orridge fan club.
Why don't you like
Jeffrey? That's the full name.
I actually like Jeffrey. I just don't know if he knows what he's doing.
Oh, you like the guy, but not the job.
You like him personally.
Jeffrey's a very likable man.
Yeah,
is he?
Very likable.
Yeah.
Just kind of making things up as he goes along.
Okay, we've talked football. On to other things.
Well, let's talk about another relatively new face on the scene, and that is the new president of the Toronto Blue Jays, who has decided that putting grass, natural grass, into the Rogers Centre is no longer, not it's not a priority, but it's no longer a priority under his administration. Right, wrong, good, bad, indifferent. How do you feel, Shannon?
Well, I think we'd like to see natural turf in the Rogers Center for baseball. I think that it makes some sense. I think that the logic of trying to attract free agents who don't want to play on artificial turf would help. At the same time, obviously something internally within the Rogers Corporation and within the Blue Jays has changed from a financial perspective.
What kind of an answer is this?
I know,
what he asked you.
What did he ask me?
What do you think?
I've told you. I said
I don't want you to write a press release for Rogers. What do you think?
I want natural turf in the.
Thank you.
But obviously something has changed that is costing too much money.
Am I wrong here?
No, go right ahead. You can host.
No. Am I wrong?
I'm happy to take the day off. Go ahead. I anticipated this happening. Actually, I've prepared nothing today because I knew that the two of you wouldn't shut up at all.
So it's like every other day.
You should see us when we drive between Pittsburgh and Detroit.
Or Anaheim and L.A.
Up for a coffee, Bob? You and I can go downstairs and these two can...
I'm good with that.
I don't understand this. I want you to say...
I've said it.
You want, so...
I want natural turf in the Rogers Center.
There you go. Period. Now
but
get on it.
Obviously... Something has changed when Mark Shapiro looks at the books and says, it's going to cost us how much? That's not a priority anymore.
No, that's not what they said.
Oh, but that's what
they said the grass is a priority. Grass is better. We want grass. Argos, get the heck out of here. We're going to put grass in. Everybody's been talking about this for years.
This is a new administration, multi-year commitment.
This is a promise. From the Toronto Blue Jays.
From the previous administration.
No. Same people still own the team. It's been promised. Now deliver on your promise and don't give me any of this hummina. How's that?
Could you spell that?
I like that. Good.
But if you're going to spend $200 or $300 million, which is what Mark Shapiro believes is required to get the Rogers Center outfitted into being acceptable for 2015-2016 standards, the least of the priorities is the playing surface of being turf or grass. That building is so not...
What? They bought it for what?
$25 million.
$25 million.
Give me a break. I mean, they didn't need... They almost got it for free.
But Damien, you, from a fan experience standpoint, you go into
bad?
That building.
Is it that bad?
Yeah,
no.
It is.
No, it is.
I don't think it is.
When was the last time you sat in the seats?
Full of hooey.
You're at field level this year. You and
Davis does
out.
All the games. I just fill in the trade deadline when he goes away to Newfoundland.
your argument is absurd.
Why is it absurd?
If you shut up, I'm going to tell you.
Okay.
Holy.
That's how this show works.
Well, I wasn't sure if you were hosting yet.
Would you like to go for a coffee?
Yeah, if this is the way it's going to be.
I don't know.
Damien is 100% right with regard to the promises that have been made to the fan base of this city. Not promises that were made a week ago or a week before Shapiro got here, but years ago.
Yeah.
To the point where the Argonauts were given a long-term agenda. At the end of 2016, you guys got to get out. Now they're going to leave a year early. The reason they booted the Argonauts out, a paying tenant,
I'm not
is
sure
because
they made
they
money
wanted,
on the Argos, Bob. I'm not sure they made money on
Well, I don't know, but they paid.
They didn't lose,
Bob, the Argos
they didn't
were
make.
Leaving anyway because they want to play at BMO because it wasn't working at Rogers Center, period.
And well, they were getting a, they were getting 11.
Until they sold the team and until Larry Tannenbaum reversed entirely their perspective on what it would do to the turf for the soccer team. Remember, they put natural grass in there.
Yeah.
And now they're going to put a football team in there.
How deep
and
the
soccer people
be,
are pissed at that.
17 yards.
17 yards. Let me guess. Jeffrey Orridge approved this.
That I don't know.
So
17 yards.
We're going to look like the NFL soon.
Well, you said just making it up.
My point is that the promise was made, the commitment was made to everybody, including and years ago. And now the new CEO or new president has come in and basically undone that. I don't care why. That's not relevant to me.
But hold on, though.
Either you make a promise or you don't. The cost analysis was done years ago.
But was the promise that we're absolutely putting grass in or we're investigating every way with the University of
100% going to be in by 2017, then they revised it to 2018.
Yeah.
That was the last thing that Beeston said.
Before Damien jumps all over me, before Damien jumps all over me, I want grass in the darn place.
Too late.
Okay, I want grass in the darn place. Okay? But when you put a new administration
I think Shannon just fell off the fence.
Mm-hmm. When you put a new administration in place, they have the right to change the philosophy of the company.
What? No.
No, they don't.
They do so.
Well, they can do whatever they want, but they do it at their peril. And to say,
they can do what they want.
To say the administration, they're speaking, Paul Beeston was speaking on behalf of the owners of the Toronto Blue Jays.
And this wasn't just his idea.
He wasn't paying for it.
Well,
he was telling people what ownership had decided to do with the baseball, with the field.
Obviously, the new CEO has been able to change their mind for some reason. And I think he obviously has that right to do that. He does in that job.
They can do anything they want.
Yeah.
As long as they're willing to take the criticism.
I'm with you. But I mean, heck. It is what it is, guys. Deal with it. Suck it up.
Look, if he'd come out and said that the University of Guelph has done all its exploration and decided it can't happen.
Can't work. Doesn't work.
Okay. We won't be happy, but we'll accept that. But to come out and say we have other priorities.
That's BS. What are the other priorities?
And if you're looking at, you know, this guy is now talking about $200-300 million in renovations.
He's rolling up his sleeves.
If you're gonna have to spend $200-300 million to renovate the concrete convertible, maybe it's time to look at a new stadium, one that you could build from scratch, one that's 40,000 seats, which is the right size, not 50, 40,000. One that has a convertible roof like Milwaukee, not like the thing they've got now that doesn't open when you want it to. You can't open at any time. And in that scenario, you're going to put a natural turf surface on it.
$1.4 billion?
Why?
Because that's the cost, Bob.
No, that's the cost for a football stadium. It's not the cost for a baseball stadium.
That's the cost for doing business with a retractable roof.
No, it's not. Milwaukee spent less than half of that.
But that's still...
And they have a retractable roof.
That's still double of what they're going to do with the Reno.
We're not talking about... Milwaukee is not a climate-controlled environment.
Correct.
They have
it's like Safeco.
I've been there. I've been in Milwaukee.
They have a roof.
Lovely people there.
That closes nine days a year. That is the average. 9 days a year it's closed. The rest of the time it's open. If it rains, you close it. If it's cold,
you wear a jacket.
You wear a jacket. Mm-hmm. I've been here since day one of this franchise. I spent 13 years, 12 and a half years at the Mistake by the Lake, better known as Exhibition Stadium. Outdoor facility. Crappy, no roof. It was okay.
No, it wasn't, Bob.
From a weather standpoint?
Oh, no.
From a weather standpoint, it was fine.
Come on.
We sat there. We had rain delays. We had all the things you have in baseball. You don't have to have a roof. But if they want a roof, sure, it's a good idea.
You just said they needed a roof.
I didn't just say they needed a
roof. Well,
Milwaukee. What I said was... that the plan at some point was to replace Rogers Center with a facility like Milwaukee's, but not climate controlled. Now that's not going to cost $1.4 billion. That's what you're going to pay for a state-of-the-art football stadium with 70 to 80,000 seats on a much bigger platform. It's more than $200 or $300 million, but I don't exactly know how much more. But why would you spend $300 million to fix up the Rogers Center and not put grass in it?
Because of location?
Right. You want the downtown stadium.
Why?
Because
we're not going down that path.
Bob.
We're not doing that again.
No, we are. Let's go to Downsview.
No, let's not.
Come on. Let's go. Let's put a stadium in Downsview.
What's wrong with Downsview?
Oh, come on.
Everything.
What do you
traffic,
mean,
traffic flow. Yeah. I mean, say what you want about Rogers
traffic
Center.
Flow. Have you ever driven,
Bob? What's have you driven the Blue Jays so attractive
to or from the Rogers Center before or after a game when there's 50,000 people?
Yeah, I go to my parking spot across the street.
What's made the Blue Jays so attractive is their demographic and fan base is so young in a sport that skews old, and the young demographic in large part is because of the foot traffic and the dozens of condo buildings around the building because of the accessibility to Union Station.
Sure.
Downsview is not even a starter.
Yeah.
Here.
We're not going to Downsview.
Well, you just got told.
Yeah, by a bunch of technical experts.
Thank you. It was the nicest thing you've ever said.
Well, I'll tell you. When's Mr. Beeston coming in? Tuesday?
Can we go back to the discussion of grass rather than this other thing?
Mr. Beeston will be here Tuesday. We'll have that conversation because he's done a fair bit of research on it.
I'm sure he has. I'm sure he has.
And I can tell you that...
But there's really two issues.
Downsview wouldn't be a problem.
There's really two issues here. And one is the grass, but also I'm not sure I understand what Mr. Shapiro is trying to accomplish with his opening gestures and remarks to the Toronto baseball public. Like, is he trying to piss people off? You know, is he going out of his way to say it'll be my way or the highway?
I don't think he's doing that. He's just arrogant. He just, you know, this is all I get from him. He thinks he is smarter than everybody else in the room.
Actually, what? Do you know who it sounds like, honestly? Tim Leiweke. He sounds like Tim Leiweke. That there is a bigger way, a better way, and it's, you know, the Leiweke way or the Shapiro way.
Yeah.
You know, but because these guys are, in many ways, blueprints of what a lot of people assume that CEOs of sports franchises are supposed to sound like.
It's like Shapiro was frozen in time at the moment they agreed to hire him and missed everything that happened from July through October. And all the, you know,
but
not only the performance
what does that
of the
do with
base. No, but not only, well, it does. Because not only
he doesn't
only,
understand the
only,
historical reference.
And he doesn't relevant. Understand the way people want to respond to this baseball team. And one of the things is they want to feel a connection between this baseball team and the community.
Mm hmm.
And that's why I think the reaction was so strong when Anthopoulos left. It was so strong.
Agreed.
Because people felt he was one of the community. Now you've got some guy and from some other place that none of us ever go to because why would you? And
No, hold, Damien, you've been to Cleveland.
Yes, I've been with John. Another place I've been with John. and now these guys are telling us this is the way it should be here. I think I don't understand his approach. I don't think he had to say anything yesterday on grass. But it's not a priority. It's not what. Well, but you promised. You guys promised. And as Bob said, if they come in and they say, "Well, look, we can't do it. It's too expensive, or it doesn't work, or
yeah,
we can only do it as long as you like brown grass." You know, I mean, all those things. He just sort of said, "Yeah, nah." And I think that's, you're eroding something that was accomplished and really became the life again in August, September, and October that none of us had seen for 20-some years. It was still there. Now, wouldn't you do
everything? Bigger than ever.
Wouldn't you do everything you possibly could to make sure that was all, geez, we didn't even know we had this. Let's make sure we cultivate this. Well, he doesn't seem to be cultivating it.
I'm with you. Arash has his finger on his lip and pondering what to say next.
I'm just listening.
That's a
I mean, I think this guy is off to about as bad a start as you can get. Some of it is self-imposed. Some of it's not his fault. I'll tell you right now, I'll be shocked if he and his pal, the general manager, or whatever his title is.
General manager.
What's his name?
Ross Adkins.
Yeah, that guy.
Why was he better than the
Tony?
He's not. But yeah. I'll be surprised if they're here 2 years from now. At the rate they're going. I just think this guy's ego is out of control. I think he thinks he's the smartest guy.
Now, have you had him on the show yet, Bob? Have you had him in the studio?
We had
yet?
Him. He's supposed to come in the first week of January because I'm not here. We're going to postpone it until the second week of January. And and then we'll have him in if he wants to come in.
See, the weird part is like, let's take the Toronto Maple Leafs as an example. So finally, they start with this new administration, and they went out and found Mike Babcock, who'd won a Stanley Cup with a team that everybody agreed was better than the Leafs and better run than the Leafs. And then they went and got Lou Lamoriello, who'd won multiple Stanley Cups. And so you sort of understand they're going to go out and find people who have accomplished things other places, bring them in, and try to straighten this thing out here. That's what left me, like, you know, what's the list of accomplishments of these two guys that they could come in here and run this baseball team?
Well, I gave them a C-minus grade for their performance with the team on the field, and I think that was pretty generous.
Are you talking the Indians now?
Yeah. And an F as their in their performance in management, which is to say running the team, running the stadium, luring a fan base.
Do they still sell out down there?
No, they are the they are like 26, 27, 29th
in attendance. They used to.
No, it's not an honest question.
Yeah, it is. It was a question. I don't know. They used to. They used to sell out all the time.
Yeah.
No, I don't watch the Cleveland.
When they built the new stadium, it sold out. Sold out for about a week.
That was really a
disingenuous.
I mean, holy, that deserves.
It's not. It was a question.
Oh, Damien.
Okay,
Damien.
I'm sorry. In the bottom. I cannot cite the attendance of all Major League Baseball teams. Yeah. I admit it.
Let me tell you, they have ranked in the high 20s in terms of attendance, between 26th and 29th pretty consistently over the last 10 years.
29th being the lower.
29th is second last. I don't think they've had the lowest attendance, but...
No, well, no, we're all, we're still
what
talking...
What are you finding so unbelievable?
We're still here talking about your question.
Why? Okay, what's the attendance of the Arizona Diamondbacks?
Okay, so we're going to sit here and we're going to rip this man's apparent ego, his track record, his old baseball team, his old business acumen, his hire of a general manager for what? Because he's not going to bring grass into the Rogers Center?
Again, you're not listening.
Yeah, no, I am listening. Which fan cares about grass over wins? Why are we not waiting to see what these guys are going to do in the win department before we make any kind of observation?
So I get this. So none of us can talk about the Blue Jays until you
not
say it's
all.
Okay?
Not at all. No.
Until we see how
they're
they do?
They're not going to put grass in the stadium.
Okay, I didn't know we couldn't.
And we can't
talk about the Leafs
Why
either.
Why don't we just fold the franchise? Because there's not grass in the Rogers Center.
Now you're being silly.
Well, I'm okay with that.
Come on now.
We're just talking about we're being critical. Don't give me this stuff about let's wait and see how they do.
The moment this guy came in, he was enemy number one. Anything that comes out of his mouth
That's not his fault.
Right.
That wasn't his fault.
Right. And it's almost as if he was hired by somebody to come in and do the job. And
what?
The moment he sat in the chair, he became the lightning rod, and everything that is wrong
100%
is his fault.
Right.
Why?
Because I don't think people saw him as...
Because he's the CEO. Because
he did sign up for the job, Arash. He did sign up for the job.
That's what you do when you're a CEO. You take the hits. You are responsible for the decisions.
Well, plus he
but
didn't...
But what
he
decisions
didn't...
has he made
so
well,
far?
Well,
you want to start? I mean, you
he
know...
Didn't, he didn't put an offer in on...
He didn't put $217 million in front of David Price.
No, but he didn't even try.
He didn't even try.
He didn't do whatever had to be done to keep a general manager that was pretty popular.
And almost assuredly, the general manager left because of him.
What are you looking befuddled about?
Because on to the next one. The general manager leaves. Okay, thank you, Alex. It was great.
Well, you asked what decisions has he made.
We're telling you what decisions he's made that have created the environment that currently exists, which is an environment of at least cautiousness, if not untrustworthiness. We haven't seen him do anything yet to make the fan base happy. Now,
he's 6 weeks on the job in November and December.
Well, that's pretty important, 6 weeks. A lot of stuff going on in baseball.
Free agency has taken place. The winter baseball meetings have taken
place. Marco
Estrada
getting the two-year deal is irrelevant?
No, we didn't say it was irrelevant.
Well, that hasn't come up at all, has it?
You just brought it up.
Right.
We didn't give us a chance to list the decisions that he's made.
Go on.
What else is he? What else has happened that you like?
There's no question.
Make your list. I'll make mine.
He's not.
We'll see where it lands
from a position of strength. Let's face it.
Sure.
And with the popularity of both Paul Beeston and Alex Anthopoulos, it was going to be very difficult
for
anybody to come into this situation.
You never want to be the guy after the guy.
No. Well, particularly after the heroic season that the Blue Jays had. And I mean, we're talking. They didn't win the World Series, but there's a generation that will remember this run for a long, long time. So, what you have to do in many ways.
Well, it wasn't a heroic season, John. It was a heroic 2.5 months because the first 4 months were nothing.
But nobody talks about the great run in May and April. Nobody ever says, "Boy, I sure loved that April and May." They talk about August, September, and the playoffs. That's what you do. You don't talk when the Maple Leafs do things. You talk about, wow, what a great playoff run! Wasn't that fantastic? That's what happens. Okay, playoffs are where it matters. The crowds coming back, That's what matters. The TV ratings that came back, that's what matters. What he doesn't understand, and I don't want to speak for my two pals here, what he doesn't understand is how this city and this country and the view of this franchise and maybe sports as a whole in Canada, and that's something that it took Brian Colangelo 2 years to learn when he was here with the Raptors. 2 years. Liked it so much he's decided to stay for a lot longer.
So why does everybody get a leash and this guy is, they're jumping down his throat after every single minute of every decision?
Because of the playoff run and Anthopoulos.
People were jumping down Tim Lewicki's throat.
Right away.
Yeah.
So I don't think that's accurate.
And I was at the front of the line. I make no bones about it.
I think people jumped down people's throats.
Because Lewicki was so boastful in everything that he's, I brought David Beckham to North America. I did this. I don't sense that from Shapiro.
There's lots of reasons. You didn't say that. You said, why is only this guy? It's not only this guy. People come in, and they first impressions matter.
Yeah.
Masai Ujiri came in. People loved him right away.
Right away.
However, Masai had been here as an assistant GM, so he understood the market.
So why did you hire a guy who didn't understand the market? Which gets us back to the beginning.
It's not Mark Shapiro's fault he was hired.
Well, he took the job.
Well, what's he saying?
No, he's not supposed. You know, if you had this job in the number four media market in North America, you wouldn't turn it down either, Damian. You wouldn't.
Blame for.
Well, it's not Mark Shapiro's fault. It's not Mark Shapiro's fault, as you just said. Whose fault is it?
But
whose fault is it?
It's ownership.
Whose fault is it? Answer the question.
It's ownership.
What's the fault for?
You don't want to say it, do you?
No, but what's the blame for? There's nothing wrong here.
Ownership. It's ownership.
Of course it's ownership.
No, but what's wrong here?
But ownership doesn't talk in this company. Ownership won't come in here and face the questions. Ownership doesn't want to address the issues. So they assign somebody to address those issues, and that's Mark Shapiro. So if I can't confront Guy Lawrence and I can't confront Edward Rogers, then I'm going to confront the guy who they will put in that chair in January.
That's right.
If we're going to look at the three biggest issues that probably irk the fan base during Shapiro's time.
All 6 weeks of it.
All 6 weeks of it is likely Anthopoulos not coming back.
One.
That was a big one.
Price going to Boston.
No, Price not even getting an offer. Right?
Price not even getting an offer. And what, the grass thing? Would that be number three?
The Homer hiring of his pal.
The Homer hiring of his pal. And I don't know how many Blue Jay fans really care about that, but I'll give you that. I think the best decision Mark Shapiro has made since taking over this franchise was not putting $200 million in front of David Price. I really believe that.
Well, we all agree with that.
So then why is that an issue?
Well, why didn't you put a lesser offer in front of him? I mean, I don't want to degenerate this into a topic that's closed.
Well,
the point of the matter
yes,
is...
Yes, you do, because you know, it doesn't matter. The CEO, and...
You want to defend the company that you work for.
That's
and,
not at all.
No, that's not fair.
It's clear.
That's
not at all. No,
it's clear.
It's clear. It's been clear to me for a long time, and I understand that. I don't feel that obligation.
Oh, it's good to be back.
Oh, yeah. You missed the show, Damian.
You can't defend anything that this guy has done so far. Anything. There's nothing that is obviously right. He hasn't appeased the fan base in any way, shape, or form. He forced out the guy that everybody was in love with. Even to the point where Rogers offered him a 5-year contract at double the money with an out after the first year if he didn't like it. I mean, is that the kind of, do we think Alex Anthopoulos is dumb? No. What we know is he's pissed, and he knew that he couldn't work with an egomaniac like Mark Shapiro.
Oh, I got to listen to this interview.
He knew he couldn't work with him.
Hey, Jen, you want to clip this so when Mark comes in, we'll just hit play as the lead-in for the...
I got no issue in telling him. If he's got the stones to come in here, he's going to face it. Because I haven't seen one thing that this guy has done. You know, historically, he was the wrong hire. The wrong hire. This is a bunch of boobs who tried to hire
Kenny Williams.
And then wanting to give up a prospect for
called Reinsdorf, Beeston's best friend, to say, can we talk to him before they'd said to Beeston they're going to get rid of him. Duh. And then they turn around and, absent any thought of their own, they go to Major League Baseball and say, could you please recommend somebody? So the commissioner looks around and he says, well, who the hell would want the job? But blah, 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 blah. And he says, well, guy, Mark Shapiro. Now, did they look at his resume? Did they look at the wins and losses? Did they look at how he has done? If he's the president, his primary function is to put people in the seats, sell the logo, sell the apparatus, sell the games. He failed at that miserably. Miserably. Why he was still there is a puzzlement to me. On the field, he had a limited budget. I understand that. That's why a record in and around 500, and I may be flattering him a little bit over the last 10 years, doesn't look that bad. So I gave him a C- on that.
But wasn't that Alex Anthopoulos' record from October of 2009 until July 25th of 2015?
You are in the third largest market in North America. When it comes to baseball, you could argue you're in the number one market because you have a whole country. You got 37 million potential fans with no competition.
But you're not answering my question. Alex went 500 from the moment he took the job until the end
of July. We've already addressed that. You just keep going back to it.
I'm using your argument.
Yeah, but then you have to finish the sentence. Then he made a number of moves and turned this team into a winner that came very close to going to the World Series. So you have to finish the sentence.
Right, but the Indians have sprayed champagne too under Shapiro's time. But we're not discussing that.
Well, once.
And how many times did they with Alex?
Even Rogers acknowledged that they changed their mind on Alex. They brought Shapiro in because they thought, well, we can get two for the price of one. Here's a guy who's a president who also is a general manager. We don't want this general manager. We're going to get rid of him. And then all of a sudden, uh-oh, he's the superstar. Just named the person of the year in the Toronto Sun or whatever, and God knows what other
didn't
awards.
Didn't he win the Lou Marsh? Did he win the Lou Marsh? No. Oh, he didn't win the Lou Marsh.
No. He just keeps collecting awards, though.
Right.
So now they realize they blundered that. So they jump through hoops to try to get him to stay. I mean, of all the mistakes they have made, and it's a long list, at least they recognized that one, but they couldn't undo it. Now they're stuck with this guy. Do you think he's doing anything? Do you think this announcement is his announcement without consulting Rogers on it? He's consulted them. He probably recommended it. He probably went upstairs and said, well, I see you got this grass initiative that Beeston was working on. I don't like this initiative. I think we should kibosh it. And the guys upstairs who probably don't have any time for him anymore have said, yeah, okay, go whatever, do whatever, do. Go ahead. We got a cable business to run.
No, keep going.
No, I'm listening. Probably patted him on the head and said, yeah, okay, whatever you want to do. Yeah, you got to understand the marketplace.
And that's why the grass issue matters. It doesn't matter necessarily on its own. It matters within the context.
It was a promise.
Of what's happened.
It's a promise that was made. It was made repeatedly, discussed openly. There was a plan in place.
We've been talking about this.
The Argonauts were told years in advance, you got to get out because we're putting natural grass in, and when natural grass comes, you can't play here because you can't play on this grass. Not that we don't like you, but you can't play on this grass. They didn't like them, but that's another story altogether. They didn't tell them.
Not that we didn't nobody came to watch you.
I was going to say, and the fact that they gave the Argos, who needed 10 dates, they gave them 11 to choose from.
Right.
For their schedule.
Well, they needed the room.
How many games did they play in the Rogers Center this year? Three?
They played home games in Fort McMurray.
Yeah, that was a good one.
And Hamilton.
Hamilton. Ottawa. They played a home game against Ottawa in
Ottawa.
How
many games did they play in the Rogers Center?
Seven, I think.
No.
Nowhere
six?
Near.
Six?
No. They only have 10 home games. The preseason game was at Varsity.
We got to take the break.
Come on.
Why? He used to be in control of this show. You decide when you take the break.
We're now so late that we're going to be taking two breaks at once if we do, which I'm not opposed to, but we'll come back with more. Roundtable continues.
Bob.
The last roundtable of the year. It's primetime on the Sportsnet Radio and Television Networks.
Now, prime time is anytime. Subscribe to the Primetime Sports Podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher, Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Now, more of Bob McCowan and Primetime Sports on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
I had the radio on. I was driving. The trees went back.
All right, settle down now, everybody. Say 18 minutes before the hour. Primetime continues on the Sportsnet radio and television networks. It's the last and final roundtable of the year, mercifully. I'm Bob McCowan. That's John Shannon. That's Damian Cox. I don't know who the hell that is down there.
I must say, Bob, on nights like this, I love Twitter.
Are they being very complimentary?
Very complimentary.
Oh, not entirely complimentary.
Can you give us a sampling?
Well, you're an idiot. Get off the radio. That was not a bad one.
Yeah, that's the best one you can come up with.
Why don't you punch Damien in the face? That's another one.
Not in the face.
In the head.
You can do it in the head, not in the face. It's TV.
That's right. Good point.
All right, moving on.
Can't figure out if you're playing devil's advocate or you're just thick.
Thank you, Twitter.
Drew Hutchison joined us on this program yesterday and showed that he is as confused of it by his performance as the rest of us were.
He's confused about the turf.
No. We asked him. We talked a bit about it, but he said it didn't matter to him one way or the other. Mm. Well, he doesn't play on it, really, you know, so.
Except the ball gets to the infielders quicker, doesn't it?
Not so much with this turf.
No. This was.
Have you had a chance to walk on this turf?
It's thick.
It's really slow.
Bouncy.
No, it's not bouncy. Okay. It's slow. The ball stays down, and like if you hit a ground ball through the hole, there's almost no chance it's going to go to the wall. Where on the old turf, boy, there was every chance.
They might as well just left the concrete.
Go through the wall.
True.
Picking up speed as it went.
I mean, those guys, particularly the football players that have to play on the old turf.
Did you ever go on the old turf and look at the seams?
Oh my God, yeah.
Oh, geez.
Just waiting for your knee to be torn to pieces.
So Hutchison's on yesterday, and we talk about a whole bunch of things, and not the least of which is, he really couldn't figure out, and I'd said this a few times already, he couldn't figure out what the difference was. What was the difference between previous years and last year? Why was his performance so, abysmal, to be honest? Usually, the one example I come up with, and I'm sure you guys have come up with a better one, is Brett Cecil. Cecil was a guy who lost 3 or 4 or 5 miles an hour of velocity. Mm-hmm. In a once a 93, 94 mile an hour pitcher, it went down to he couldn't get it to 90.
Unfair to compare him to Ricky Romero that one year?
Ricky Romero lost control.
He couldn't
find the plate. And Hutchison
couldn't find Buffalo. I mean,
Hutchison didn't have that. That's the interesting thing. Yeah. Hutchison didn't have a control problem.
Okay.
He didn't walk more guys. They just were hitting everything he threw. His velocity wasn't down. Now, was his location off? I guess. But it was off in the strike zone as opposed to out of the strike zone because his walks weren't up. So he wasn't able to identify it, which raises the question, does he have a better chance or a worse chance of correcting something when he doesn't know exactly what he's trying to correct? With a lot of pitchers, it's arm angle. With Halliday years ago, they sent him down to the minors after his first few games, and he worked on positioning his arm and is going to be a Hall of Famer. Mm-hmm. With Cecil, they changed his delivery and changed the slot where the ball comes. Right. Now he's throwing as hard as he ever did and still has the big breaking ball.
Yep.
What is this guy going to work on? He's going to start to throw, he said, in early January. What is his focus?
Well, he's 25 years old. He's had Tommy John surgery, correct?
All true.
He was 13-5 last year. His ERA was a full run and a bit more than it was the year before.
570 something.
Right, but I don't know. I felt, and I'm sure I'm going to get stomped on by you statistically since I don't know the attendance. I don't know if his year was abysmal. They lost confidence in him, and he pitched badly in some situations and pitched all right in other situations.
True.
But he probably more probably well early.
I was going to say second half of the season.
Second half of the season, he
So the team didn't play well, so he had kind of the flip flop of the team.
Yes,
right?
Yeah.
True.
Which happens, yeah. Right? I just don't know why is he a lost cause. Like he's 25.
I don't think he's a lost cause, but it's funny.
What is he working on to try and to
probably his confidence for starters.
Well, yeah, but usually you can find this is what you're doing. They have all this video. They have all these coaches and experts. Here's what you did 2 years ago,
right?
And here's what you're doing now. Don't do that. Do this.
Yeah.
Well, they can't find that.
See, I think that when you talk about the loss of confidence, any of the discussion in the last or since the end of the regular season has always been, well, who is the rotation? And his name never gets mentioned.
Which I don't really understand.
But it doesn't, does it? I mean, you never hear his name in all of this.
2 years ago, they were pretty excited.
Sure.
Oh, no, this guy looked like not just a front of the rotation guy, but he could very well have been their number one pitcher.
So isn't it at least possible that he just struggled and didn't have a good year?
Oh, sure.
And he may come back and...
It's possible. Yeah,
no, it's
sure.
It's possible. And again, I wasn't down there as much this season as I had been in previous years, but it got to the point where even Pete Walker, the pitching coach, they tried A and B and C, and they experimented with some things, and they worked on some things, and looked at video on things. And by the end, it just seemed everybody was befuddled as to why this was happening the way it was. There weren't really any answers. And so that's really the question. And, yeah. You know.
And to the point, John, you know, we were talking about walks.
Yeah.
His walks last year were down from the year before. Hmm. Not even dramatically worse. Down.
He gave up a lot of hits.
He got hit. That's exactly what it was.
I mean, it seemed in a lot of situations he was throwing. He couldn't get the ball down in the zone.
Mm-hmm.
Everything was up in the zone. When he was having one of those, you could see it watching on television, right. Couldn't get the ball down in the zone, and you knew he was going to get tagged eventually. I don't know. I think he's a third-year pitcher. And, you know, not to talk about, you know, people that are gone, but Alex Anthopoulos used to talk about all the time about how often it was players came into the league, and often they'd be in the majors for a full year, and the next year they'd be back down in the minors.
Well,
it's not just a straight improvement. You know, maybe that's where this kid is.
There's been
maybe.
A ton of pitchers that their first time around, you know, the league, they surprise every batter, and by the time you get a book on a pitcher, and that is year two, and they do go back to the minors.
Well, and you learn.
Oh, yeah.
And you learn.
Sure.
And you learn and you figure stuff out.
But like Halliday, he may have to go back into the lab and really kind of reinvent himself and reconstruct himself.
Is that what those numbers tell you?
It's not what the numbers showed. It was in the second half of the season. There was just no answers.
But the problem is they identified a problem with Halliday and they sent him they didn't even send him to AAA. They sent him to Class A.
They went to Dunedin.
They sent him back to Dunedin to work on it. This is what you have to do. And the reason they sent him to Dunedin is because it was a structural change in his delivery. And they knew he wasn't going to grasp it overnight. Mm-hmm. He's going to need time to work on it. At AAA, there is still that inclination to pitch to win. At Class A, don't worry about winning. Don't worry about performance. Just get technique. Get yourself to where you have to be. So I think we would all agree Hutch right now is in a competition for the fifth spot in the rotation.
Absolutely is.
He hasn't guaranteed a thing.
No.
And his performance at Dunedin in the spring will determine his immediate future.
Sure. But that's okay, right? I remember the last spring
training. It's fine, but it's pretty scary.
But the biggest thing here is...
Quick, we got about 30 seconds.
If Hutchison is able to get this thing figured out, it's so massive for this team because of what it can do for the bullpen, right? Mm-hmm. And that's the biggest thing here. It's not just who he's going to beat out for the job. It's the fact you don't have to stretch out Sanchez and maybe even Osuna.
Well, unless Chavez becomes a guy who factors into that. I mean, that's a guy he's definitely going to have to beat out.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Whether Osuna or Sanchez, they try and stretch them out. They haven't said
Talking baseball in December in Toronto is quite something.
It's either that or talk Ray Emery.
We'll get to Ray Emery in a moment. when we come back, we have a whole long laundry list of things that have taken place this year. Some recent, some not so recent. We'll try and get through as many as we possibly can and get the various and sundry opinions of those on this panel. Stick around.
More of the last roundtable of the year coming up. This is Primetime on the Sportsnet Radio and Television Networks.